Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com. Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson. March Madness and the men's NCAA basketball season will conclude on Monday night when one team will cut down the net in Minneapolis. But first, they'll have to earn their ticket tomorrow night at the Final Four. Listeners, we'd love to have you join this conversation. Did any of your teams make it to the Final Four? Are you all about the women's final matchups? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also follow us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me from Minneapolis is Dan Dockich. He's a college basketball analyst and host of the Dan Dockich Show on ESPN Radio. He's also a former player at Indiana University and head coach at Bowling Green. Dan, welcome to On Point.
Thank you very much for having me.
So how's your bracket, Dan? How'd it work out?
Let me tell you something. The more you know, the less you know. My bracket is like everybody else's bracket. I'm in a family pool, and I think I am last out of seven people.
Okay.
So there you go. Well, I heard you say college basketball analyst. Not very good at one, I guess.
All right, so size up the tournament so far. Has it lived up to the expectations, the hype we have for March Madness?
Yeah, it really has. You know, one of the things about the tournament is we all love Cinderellas and we all love the team that, you know, comes out of nowhere. But it's also kind of fun when really good teams advance. And I thought last weekend in college basketball, we had the best Elite Eight Sweet 16 games that I can remember. Every game was must-see TV and every game lived up to the hype, Jane. And it was as fun to switch from one game to the next as I've ever experienced. And I know a lot of people felt that way. It was terrific.
Well, they were all good games. But I got to tell you, that Duke-Michigan State game, my 13-year-old son and I watched the last minute of that thing maybe 10 times. Here it is. And Jim Nance of CBS Sports has the call.
Dillon up ahead, Winston. No one near him. And he's going to come out with it. And Michigan State is headed to Minneapolis.
Wow, talk about drama, huh?
Yeah, you know, college basketball was kind of dominated, at least on our network at ESPN, by Duke and Zion Williamson. And rightfully so, because the kid was absolutely incredible. But truth of the matter is, Michigan State, Tom Izzo, great coach, great team, lost a couple players, overcame some adversity, was a bad matchup for Duke. And it really wasn't a big surprise. I think that it's good for college basketball what Zion Williamson and Duke does. But I'll tell you what, it's good for college basketball that we have games like that. And it's good for college basketball that Michigan State advanced as well. It was an incredible game. In my world, Jane, this is how wacky it gets. I went to Indiana University. I played there. I coached there. I was there 17 years. Our rival is Purdue. My wife and I were jumping up and down, yelling and screaming for Purdue as they were playing Virginia, which is so odd for me to do, but that's what the tournament does to you. It does
right.
Weird things.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the Final Four. Virginia versus Auburn, Michigan State versus Texas Tech. What do you find most compelling in these matchups, Dan?
A couple of things. Yeah. Texas Tech being there is interesting. Most people equate Texas Tech. I'm not even sure a lot of people know that Texas Tech has a college basketball team. It's, you know, known for football. But yeah, the coach there is an interesting guy. Coach there has coached at all kind of levels, Chris Beard. He's coached in junior college. He's coached in semi-pro leagues. He's coached high school and got an opportunity as a head coach at Arkansas Little Rock, did a great job, and then parlayed that into going to Texas Tech where he had coached previous. And it's a great story how they've come together, lost four starters. It's a great story with Bruce Pearl. Bruce Pearl
in
is
Auburn.
A guy that
that's
kind of a polarizing guy in college basketball. And here he goes. He has all these problems. He has a coach indicted by a federal trial, or actually going to go to jail in a federal trial. He kind of stays with the entire thing. Next thing you know, loses one of his three best players, and he ends up in the Final Four beating three of the best teams in the history of college basketball, Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky. Those two things are absolutely fascinating to me.
So Texas Tech has a lot of experience with three seniors, right? How does the experience match up with the lack of experience. I mean, let's see, the coaches here, I'm looking at Michigan State, of course, Tom Izzo has been to Final Four 7 times, but these other coaches have not, right? This is their first round.
Yeah, one of the interesting things is we talk so much in college basketball, Jane, about freshmen. You know, freshman this, freshman that. Well, there's only one freshman of the four teams that even starts for their team, and that's a kid named Aaron Henry at Michigan State, and he averages less than 6 points a game. So really, experience wins out here. The experienced teams made it through. You know, you have to play Thursday, Saturday in NCAA tournament play. And that doesn't, I think that helps experienced teams. I think that helps older guys. Scouting comes into play, understanding scouting reports, having a quick recognition of situations that you've been in before. And then, you know, Jane, I go through this and I study it and I say, okay, who has an advantage in of the four teams? All four are playing great or they wouldn't be here. But one thing I would say about Tom Izzo, who you mentioned, Tom Izzo brings comfort to his team.
He Michigan State.
There.
Yep.
Yeah, he understands how this whole thing goes. I had an opportunity twice in my life to participate in this Final Four, and it is so chaotic off the court with tickets and logistics and practice times and all the different things. Izzo has that down. He's been here so many times. So that brings comfort. Now, ball gets tipped up. We'll see who makes shots because that's usually what these games come down to.
Mm. So Virginia, Auburn, Michigan State, Texas Tech. Virginia is known for playing slow, methodical ball, right? Auburn wants to run the ball down the floor. Talk about the two different styles of play here. We talked about the players and the experience. What about the style of play here?
Yeah, it's interesting because Auburn will take the ball down the floor. They made 17 three-point shots against North Carolina. It took 29 three-point shots against Kentucky. So they want to get it and they want to go. Virginia will shoot the ball from deep, but they're going to do it at the end of a shot clock. They're going to make you guard. So it's really a contrast in styles. The thing about Virginia, they just don't lose. Like, they play in one of the best, if not the best, leagues in college basketball, and they've lost 4 conference games in 2 years. That's unheard of. They lost 2 games this year in their conference, both to the same team, Duke, and lost 1 in the tournament, conference tournament to Florida State. This is a team that just doesn't lose, and people criticize their style of play. They say they're too slow. They say they hang on to the ball too long. When you play sports, I don't care the sport, and you coach sports, the idea is to win, right? I mean, it's to win, and whatever style helps you win. So it is a contrast. Auburn is going to have to make shots because Virginia does pack in the defense, and Auburn's capable of doing it. But I'm just telling you, Virginia is just one of those teams that at the end of the game, you look at your teammate and you say, we can beat those guys. We just didn't. It's amazing.
Listeners, we're talking about the NCAA Final Four this weekend. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Dan Dakich, who is the single player who could make the biggest difference for their team this weekend? We talk about Zion Williamson out with Duke there, but we've got some other heralded players, Cassius Winston at Michigan State, Jarrett Culver, Texas Tech, Bryce Hunter at Auburn. Who do you see? Who do you like out there right now?
I really like Cassius Winston, and each team does have a terrific player. But Cassius Winston, to me, is a kid that, coming out of high school, could get into Harvard. He was smart enough. He got admitted to Harvard, chose to play basketball at Michigan State. I swear he's going to end up as the governor of Michigan when you talk, or whatever state he wants to live in. And when you talk to him, he's so on point. He's so smart. He's so enthusiastic. He has the team and the coaching staff in the palm of his hand. And when what he does, Jay, he just makes big plays at the end of the year. I mean, he just comes up big every single time. And in covering him, I cover the Big Ten, did a lot of Michigan State games. He never disappoints. It's incredible. And against Duke, he kind of controlled the whole thing. And then when he needed to go to the basket, he did. Now, you mentioned a couple other really good players. There's a kid named Harper at Auburn, who's the littlest guy maybe in the tournament. If he gets going, he's virtually unstoppable. It's just a matter of if he's going to make or if he's going to miss. You mentioned the Culver kid from Texas Tech. He's one of the main reasons, if not the main reason, Texas Tech is in the position that they are. He's a pro. He's going to play in the NBA. People are going to know who he is. And then there's a kid named Kyle Guy at Virginia. Kyle Guy was Mr. Basketball in Indiana, got away, went to Virginia, and he's been all league for a couple of years, and when they need a big shot, he makes it. So each team has kind of a go-to guy, but the guy that I love, I absolutely love, Cassius Winston of Michigan State. Mm.
I got a caller here, Steve, who has a question for you. Williamsburg, Virginia. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks. Man, it's a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
I know it's been 30-plus years since you played were in college. Not to age us, but I'm kind of in the same boat. And I certainly enjoy your broadcasting. What are your thoughts on a Coach K type, or even a Coach Bobby Knight type, you know, very stern personality, disciplinarian in today's game, the 21st century game? Do you think coaches that have that type of attention to discipline detail have a harder time connecting to young people today?
I think it depends on the person. Like, people made a big deal of Tom Izzo and him getting angry at Aaron Henry. I know Aaron Henry. I know Aaron Henry's coach. That didn't bother Aaron Henry one second. I think sometimes we give kids too little credit. I think sometimes we think, oh, these poor young people. And the truth of the matter is, these kids are tough. These kids don't get to the position that they're in. Now, I will say this. There's a heck of a difference between talking, yelling, and being physical with a player. And to me, there's a line there that's not a fine line. It's a wide line. I do think coaches and players, let me back up. I do think players want to be coached. I do think players want discipline. My experience is that kids respect that. They may not like it, but they respect it. They also have to know that you care about them. And if they don't think it's about them, if they think a coach is about himself, then he's got no shot with players. Tom Izzo always makes it about them. He always makes it about the players. So the players respond to him. Everybody's different. I think you have to change with the times. I don't think you can be the authoritarian Bob Knight, I'm going to dictate everything. But I do think you can bring discipline and toughness to your teams. And I do think you can get on players hard, really hard.
Steve, thanks so much for the call. We can't forget about the women. Women's Final Four this weekend as well, Dan. The University of Connecticut women's basketball, college basketball program has become a dynasty rival in any sports history. Here's ESPN's Adam Amin on the call for ESPN on Sunday when UConn defeated Louisville.
In grinded-out fashion, the Connecticut Huskies are headed back to a record 12th straight Final Four.
I'm Jane Clayson. This is On Point. I know Marianne wants to get in on this from Orleans, Massachusetts. Hi, Marianne. Who do you like in the women's brackets?
I love UConn basketball, UConn women. And so I'd love to hear your guest talk a little bit about what he thinks will happen tonight when UConn plays Notre Dame. And if you could talk a little bit about the two teams.
I personally think there's going to be fireworks. I think that everybody in college basketball wants to beat UConn. I mean, let's be honest. You mentioned a dynasty. Well, there is no bigger dynasty in sports than UConn women's basketball. And the thing about UConn's women's basketball is this. They simply just bring the next player up. It is absolutely amazing to me how they just, okay, this person leaves, next person in. That person leaves, next person in. Now it's Katie Lou Samuelson and Collier. It is really, really fun. And I'm telling you, the way Gino Auriemma, the coach, goes about his business, there is a feeling that it's not jealousy, it's not hate, it's simply, we have to beat this guy. Now, Muffet McGraw and Notre Dame, they won the national championship last year, and I got to tell you, literally the most fun game of the year in basketball was last year, and I always get her name wrong. Arike Agumbale hits game-winning shot after game-winning shots, and she's the most dynamic player in women's college basketball. If the ball is in Notre Dame's hand at the end of the game, remember the name I just gave you, because she is going to have the ball and she is going to make the shot, because that's simply what she does. She's not the tallest, she's not the biggest, she's not the strongest, but she averages 21.5 and makes every big shot. This is going to be so much fun for people to watch this Final Four. Oregon in it for the first time. It's going to be a blast, but I'm telling you tonight, I don't think these two coaches like each other. I think these two coaches respect each other, yeah. And I think it's going to be a ton of fun.
So, Dan Dakich, let me ask you about this one-and-done concept in college basketball, where top players stay in college for a year and then they enter the NBA draft. Talk about how that's changed the game in recent years.
Well, it's an NBA rule. Colleges would rather kids stay in school, but the NBA has this rule, and players take advantage of it. Personally, I think that players should be able to come out of high school and go play college basketball. I don't see why they can't, but the NBA has the rule. And it really benefits college basketball, Jane, because you get to see a kid like Zion Williamson for at least a year. I'd rather see him for 4 years, but that's not the way. And in terms of the change, oh, it's changed it big time. I mean, look, you don't get to see the best players. There are so many kids that come out after 1 year.
LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, right?
Right. And there's great players. So they should be able to come out of high school. But what happens now is this. The NBA simply, very simply, doesn't really do it based on your production. They do it on your potential. So there's a lot of kids that for the college game would really help themselves and help the college game. But you know what? They end up, maybe they average only 10 points a game in college, but they have such potential, they get drafted early. They sign a 3-year guaranteed contract for millions of dollars. I wish they were allowed to go out of high school. I think it's wrong. If they weren't going to be able to do that, I wish they would stay 3 years. I think the rule's going to change. I think they're going to be able to come out of high school. But the one-and-done rule, to me personally, has helped college basketball, but I don't think it's been great for kids.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. You know this is coming. Who are you picking to win it all? Who's going to cut the nets on Monday night?
You know what? I'm going to say it's Michigan State against Virginia, and I'm going to take Virginia to win the national championship, and for no other reason other than they just simply don't lose. They played the best teams in the country. They've lost 3 times. That's it. I'll take them.
You're on the record. Dan Dakich, thank you so much. It's great to have you, and have a great long, long weekend watching basketball.
Honored to be on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Listeners, thanks to you as well. Our program is produced by Anna Bauman, Brian Hardzinski, Eileen Amata, Stefano Katsonis, Allison Poli, James Ross, Alex Schroeder, and Adam Waller. Our executive producer is Karen Schiffman. Thanks as always for your calls, for your contribution. I'm Jane Clayson. This is On Point.